knew it was a good week just looking at you. But the one thing about coming together to worship is we bring it all in here with us. But God has invited us to leave some of that and lay it down so we can enter in that rest that He has for us on this day. See, it's not a have to kind of thing. It's a, you're going to feel so much better if you do this. If you'll just let go of all those things that challenged you this past week, all those things that you wake up in the middle of the night going, oh no. God says, just today, lay it down. Lay it down. So that's what I want to invite you to do, because He has invited you to do, and I want us to also remember those names that are on our prayer list. People who need to know that God loves them and accepts them as they are this day. Let's pray. Father God, we want to thank You. We want to thank You that You love us so much that You gave heaven's best for each one of us. Thank You for the gorgeous weather we've been having. Man, what a summer. What a fall. It's kind of one for the books, and we just want to kind of soak it in every day that we can, because like so many other things in life, we know there will be an end to it. But we just praise You and honor and thank You for it. Thank You for those who have served in our little fellowship here. Thank You for those who come each year and have a part with us in athletics and softball and volleyball. For the friends that we're able to make. Because God, our focus and our desire is for friendship with those around us. And that was Your desire when You came to this earth. When Philip said, show us the Father, You said, come on, Philip, I've been with you all this time. If you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. And I want people in this community to say the same thing about us. If they've seen us, they've seen our picture of the Father. So we just want to lift up each one here today and just pray that they can enter into that rest that You've invited them into, that we can just kind of let loose of all of those worries and all of those concerns that we carried into this day. They'll be there tomorrow. They'll be there Monday. But for this day, let us come closer to You. Let us come closer to one another, our family, and our loved ones. And I also want to lift up those who are on our prayer list. God, they need to know today that they are loved by You. They need to know today that they are accepted by You. And so, in the name of Jesus, I pray that You'll wrap Your arms of love around them, that they may feel Your presence this day. And whatever battle they're fighting, may it be a physical health battle, a relational, financial battle, whatever it is, God, may they know that You accept them today, You love them for who they are, and that You have a plan for their life. And better days are ahead. So now, Father, I just pray that everything else that we do this day, may it be acceptable to You, may it bring honor and glory to You, and may it bring us closer to You for having been here. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is going to be interesting today, because as you see, there are two different computers up here. And I'm just getting used to this one. And because this one, my notes were able to be shown up on here also, so I knew where I was going. I haven't gotten this one to do that yet. I know it has the capability, but I haven't found that magic place that it tells me is there. And so what I want to do is take you through a little bit of our history as well as our future, because there are great days ahead of us. And there are great days ahead of us health-wise also. I just wanted to take a moment, because I really believe in this and I think it's really important, is to share with you something that I found out about a couple weeks ago. And this is such a great deal for you that I just have to share it with you. So we're going to have a very short infomercial here a minute, because this is a book called The Full Plate Diet. And it has its focus is fiber, okay? And it's gotten me to start looking at labels for fiber. Now, this is a black market copy, because you can't even buy this thing yet. I mean, you can pay for it, but you can't receive it yet because they're being shipped out the first part of January, the first or second week in January. But what I really like about this is, yeah, it's a cookbook. It's got all kinds of recipes, but there are different sections that talk about the top five things in that category. For instance, here are the grains, the top five grains for your diet as far as fiber is concerned. The number one is wheat, the number one grain for fiber, 8.2 grams of fiber in each cup, followed by pearled barley, oh boy, quinoa, okay, what she said. Obviously, I've never eaten it because I've never heard of it. Number four is oats, and number five is brown rice. But it has it for fruits. It has it for vegetables. It gives you the top five for fiber in each of those areas, and then all kinds of recipes that go with it. You see, the thought is that if we eat our fiber stuff first, the stuff that's high in fiber, you're not going to be hungry enough to eat the rest of the stuff. And that's why they call it, you know, the word diet, and I know that's going to be a big thing here in another 3 months when we get to January, all those New Year's resolutions. But this thing is going to be released this next year, as I said, in January. The list price on this thing is going to be right at $20. Amazon is going to carry it for right about $14. And if you are interested in having this book and you want to order it before the 15th of October, you can have it for $9.95, $10. And I do have an order form, and part of our purpose in doing this is we really want to get this thing on the New York bestsellers list. Because when it goes there, then people like Oprah will pay attention to it. And if it goes there, you know, all kinds of good things are going to happen. So this is just a great dietary thing. I'm going to have it here if you want to afterward, during potluck time, come and look at it and make your decision. And I also have order forms here for you. Our good friend Kevin Brown brought that to us, and so I told Kevin I wanted to do that for him. And there it is. That's the full plate diet. We're going to talk about Beyond Jabez. About 8 years ago, we presented a series on the book, The Prayer of Jabez. Anybody remember that series? Were you here for that? Okay, there's a few of you old people here, old timers were here. I meant old timers, I didn't mean old people. And the whole concept was, you know, here is this two-verse prayer back in 1 Chronicles that everybody started talking about. And we got really excited about it, and we had a lot of passion for it, and it kind of went where everything else goes that we don't stay focused on. It went by the wayside. And then this summer, during my time away, I got into a book called Beyond Jabez, and it kind of brought me around again to the need that we have to get in touch with this prayer. And so what I want to share with you, this is going to be the first of a four-part series, because there's four parts to this prayer. And the prayer begins like this. Actually, the prayer doesn't, but the description of the prayer says, "Now Jabez was more honorable," should be "than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain." So how would you like to grow up and your name was pain in the or neck or rump? Basically, that's what Jabez grew up with. Everybody knew, oh, you were a pain to your mother, because that's why he was named. But in spite of that, he was more honorable than his brothers. And so Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." Now, do you see the four parts in that prayer? Lord, that you would bless me indeed, part number one. That you would enlarge my territory, part number two. That your hand would be with me, part number three, and that you would keep me from evil that I may not cause pain. That's our next 4 weeks right there. And that's what we're going to talk about, Pastor Bob and myself. And so you got to be here. You just got to cancel whatever else you got going, folks, because you got to be here. Because I don't know how much hope you have in your heart, how much hope you have in your mind coming in here today. But this is a prayer of hope. This is going to put hope back into your hearts, hope back into your lives. Because this is what God intended in this prayer. And that's why I believe it is recorded. And what I love most at the very end of this prayer, after Jabez prayed, "Lord, bless me, enlarge my territory, let me see your hand and everything that goes on, and keep me from evil." There it is. So God granted him what he requested. This is what I want us to grab hold of as we go through this thing. This is what God wants for us. God wants us to be blessed. God wants your territories to expand. God wants you to see him in all that goes on in your life. And God certainly wants to keep you from evil so that you may not harm any other. James 4:3. James says, "You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures." How many prayers go unanswered because God can see into our hearts and sees, oh, there's a little selfish motive there. And so that prayer goes unanswered and we go, oh, God's not listening to me. Yeah, I didn't win the lottery again. But God knows. And so when we get our purpose aligned with his purpose, there's no end to his answers. Oh, that you would bless me indeed, the portion that we look at today. You see, the word Hebrew for indeed or blessing is to show favor or kindness. The blessing part is to bestow favor or kindness. And the indeed part is intensely or immensely. So here's Jabez saying, okay, God, please bless me, but not just a little bit. God, bless me immensely. God, bless me intensely. And a lot of people would say, boy, that's a selfish prayer. You know, in our culture, we've kind of been brought up that you're not supposed to pray that kind of prayer. You're not supposed to be praying for yourself in that manner. And I think that's part of our problem. Culturally, we've wandered away from what God wants to give us because we're afraid to ask for it. I've been discovering, since I've gone through this book, how many things I would like to experience or share with my wife that I don't because I don't ask for it. And it's like, I remember one of my fond memories from childhood, and Brother James might remember this as well. I remember my dad saying to my mom quite often, "Henrietta, I'm not a mind reader." And so many times between couples, this is what's going on. We think, you know, she should know what I want. But hello, she's not a mind reader. And so if you want it, ask for it. And if you're not functioning that way in your life, you need to. Stop assuming anybody else around you is a mind reader and start asking for what it is you want or need. And don't expect people to, you know, somehow by osmosis understand what it is. So, Lord, bless me indeed. Now, a lot of criticism came to Bruce Wilkerson, who wrote this book, when he first had this come out, and they said, oh, this is such a selfish prayer, and you know, the book is this prosperity kind of theology, and it's just bad, bad, bad. And so part of what he shared in this book was a response to some of those criticisms. And so the whole concept of Lord bless me indeed, this prayer is not impersonal, but personal. Jabez is not doing that prayer that I loved when our kids do it, you know, did it back when they were little. Lord, bless all the missionaries in Africa and bless all the people everywhere. No, this isn't a prayer for the whole world. This isn't a prayer for the whole Christendom, not the whole denomination of Seventh-day Adventism. It's not even a prayer for Windworks. This is a personal prayer. So when we pray this, our prayer is, Lord, bless me and bless me intensely and bless me immensely. A prayer for ourselves. And it's also not a specific prayer, but a general prayer. We're not saying, Lord, bless me with $10 million. That would be a specific prayer. Jabez didn't say that. Jabez didn't say, Lord, bless me with a 5,000 square foot home. Jabez said, you know what, God? I'm going to leave it to you, how you choose to bless me, because you know me better than I know me. But God, just bless me. And if it's financially, I'll live with that. If it's health-wise, I'll live longer with that. If it's being wise, I'll live more happily that way. Jabez left it up to God how God would choose to bless him. And so it's not a specific prayer. It is a general prayer. And the prayer does not ask for meager provision, but for abundant blessing. The prayer does not limit the request to a specific time. Okay, God, I hate those emails. If you don't send this to 10 people in the next 5 minutes, your life is over. The second I see those things, delete. I don't care how good the information is. This is a chain letter, and I hate it. Delete. If I die in the next 5 minutes, so be it. It's better than sending this to 10 people. Delete. Jabez didn't do that. Jabez didn't say, okay, God, I need this in the next 24 hours. Again, he trusted God and said, you know what? When the time is right, because you know my timing better than I know my timing. And what's really interesting that happens here is, it's kind of like what I do in my class. They hate it, but they love it. I just gave them a test this past week, and it was a big test. And one class I had two perfect papers, and so I'm handing back the test, and I said, okay, two of you got 100% on this paper. And I'm going to wait till the last two papers to let you know who it is. And so the first one you hand out, the kid goes, oh! And person by person, the kids are going, oh! But you see the anticipation rise among those students who know they're pretty good at math. And you get down to those last two people, and then the last two papers, and those kids are going, yes! You see, it's all about timing, and God knows when it's the right timing. And so there's not this specific time requested by Jabez. And the prayer is not a weak wish, but a fervent desire. And this, I think, is part of my problem, and I'm going to assume part of your problem when we visited this 8 years ago. Because 8 years ago, we said, hey, isn't this cool? Look at this prayer, and God wants to do this for you, and so on and so forth, and boom, there it is, and see ya. It never, for me or anyone else that I'm aware of, became a fervent desire. No one that I know committed themselves to praying this prayer for the next 30, 45, 60 days, 90 days, and said, you know what, I'm going to keep praying this prayer until I see God work. Nobody went there. And I think we need to. We've got way too much riding on our future, personally, corporately, as a church body, way too much riding to not get desirous of this kind of result and be blessed by the Lord indeed. There are some misconceptions, as I mentioned, that he talked about from the book, The Prayer of Jabez, and even from the prayer. People who read that and go, oh, that's not for us. That's all Old Testament stuff. A lot of people said, it's magical praying. The prayer of Jabez always works. Just say the words. Just chant the words. There were even people who went online who were selling little posters and little prayer things that, say this for 30 days and you're going to become rich. That's how some people took this prayer and they tried to make a buck off of it. But it's not a magical prayer. Because you pray it, you're not going to become a millionaire. You know, because you pray it, you may not live to be 110 years old. We don't know how God is going to bless you. But if you pray it, God will bless you. If you pray according to His will. Now remember, He knows the difference. I showed you that text already. In James, where he said, some of you aren't getting answered to prayer because you're praying with the wrong motives. He's got that figured out, so don't try to sneak that one by him. But if you pray it, you will be blessed. Again, with the attitude of Jabez, it's God's decision when, it's God's decision how. Another misconception is that it's selfish praying. I can't pray the prayer of Jabez. It's not right to pray for myself. Have you ever heard the saying that there are no atheists in foxholes? Meaning that when your life is on the line, all of a sudden everybody starts believing it. There's a God, and everybody starts praying, God, help. And by saying, God, help, what they're saying is, God, help me. Okay? There's nothing wrong with praying for yourself. Students, there's nothing wrong with you guys before a test saying, hey, you know what, God, just give me an alert mind. I've gone over all this stuff. I've studied. Just be with me during this test. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with praying that, you know, God, we got these bills coming due, and I just, you know, we need some way to figure out how to handle this. And God says, pray for yourselves. It's okay to pray for yourselves. And the prayer of Jabez proves that as well. And it's not a get-rich scheme. If you want to get rich, pray the prayer of Jabez. And we've discussed that one. You see, James 1, verses 16 and 17 said, Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Every good gift. So, if you haven't figured it out or not yet, every good thing that happens to you, hello, is a gift from God. And guess what? Joe Atheist, who lives down the road, every good thing that happens to him is a gift from God. He just doesn't know it. He doesn't realize it, but it is true. James 1, 16 and 17 says so. And again, James 4, 2. Boy, James was really into this whole thing. I'm telling you. You do not have because you do not ask. What we talked about already. Don't make people try to be mind readers. That is so practical advice for us here, as well as in our marriages and families, as well as spiritually. You do not have because you do not ask. And as we have gone on record before in the past, I believe there's great, great power when you ask aloud. Because there is power in your words. Those words do not go out and just empty. Those words go out, and there's energy and there's power in those words. And so pray aloud. Who cares? Let the enemy hear what you're praying. Pray aloud. Because God's power is much greater than the enemy's power. And Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8, familiar text for a lot of you. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be open. Now, two things about this verse. In language class, we would say, these are not suggestions. You know, it's kind of like a lot of times we do something called daily oral language with our kids, and it's kind of figuring out what's wrong with the sentence and making corrections. And a lot of times we'll put the word up there, stop, don't go any further, and they've got to figure out and correct it. And usually after the word stop, what they need to put is an exclamation mark, because that is a command, stop. And so this is what's going on here. God is not saying, you know, maybe you should ask. God is saying, ask as a command. God is saying, seek as a command. God is saying knock as a command. And the second half of this verse, he's not saying for some who ask receives, and some who seek find, and some who knock the door will be open. No. Do it and you will find results. Now, it may not always be the results that you're specifically looking for, but God is not going to let you down because God's the one who's telling you to do this. And so God doesn't tell you to do something just to let you fall flat on your face and look silly and all of those things. There's five kinds of blessings in this world. There are the common good blessings. And that's kind of what I referred to about Joe Atheist down the street, all those good things that happened to him. That's a common good blessing. There's no requirement for that. And the text that ties into that is Matthew 5:45. He makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Everybody's blessed by the same weather. Or everyone's challenged by the same weather. It happens to those who are in a relationship with God and those who are not. So, the common blessing. There is the conduct blessing. And that is dependent upon a certain standard of behavior. And whether you want to call it cause and effect or whatever, the scripture talks about this is in Matthew 5:6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. You hunger and thirst for righteousness, you will be filled. Cause, effect. Request, answer. And then the conversion blessings. For those who come into a relationship with Christ and start believing in Christ. The text that ties into this, John 3:16. This is the conversion blessing. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. So there is a result, there is a consequence, if you would, to believing in God. And believing in his Son, Jesus Christ. That's called the conversion blessing. And then there is the compensation blessing. That one is given to each of us on the basis of our life conduct. For instance, Luke 14, verses 12 to 14. When you give dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor rich neighbors, lest they invite you back and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just. So here's a certain lifestyle that leads to certain results. Okay? And then the fifth one is the compassion blessings. And this is God giving because he's God. God giving because it was asked for. There's no reason. There's no strings attached. God loves us so much, he wants us to have this. Your grandkids come to you and say, Dad, or Grandpa, Papa, we want you to come out and go swimming with us. Or, Papa, we're hungry. Can you give us something to eat? Can you imagine saying no or giving them a rock? Here, eat on this. Go make some stone soup. Matthew 7:7-8. Again, that concept of asking, but that's not the one I want. There it is, Matthew 7:9-11. What man is there among you who, if his son, or I would say grandkids, asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? See, Jesus tried to put this into an analogy that we would be able to understand. And if you haven't figured it out by now, I'm pretty crazy about my grandkids. And so I tie in, and I know most of you are too, most of you. I really tie in emotionally to what God says in that kind of situation, because I cannot fathom when one of my grandchildren asks for something that's not unreasonable, something that's not immoral. I can't fathom saying, nope, or go ask Nana. Heck no. Oh, Papa wants to be the hero. You bet. Let's go to Dairy Queen. And if I'm that way, can you imagine what God the Father's like? Because He is a billion times more that way than I could ever be. 1 Corinthians 2:9, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. We don't even know what to ask to be blessed for and by. We have no concept of what the riches of heaven really are. You know, we are like ants in the dirt compared to what God wants to be able to share with us in the way of blessings, what He wants us to experience in this life. God has said too many places, too many times, that He wants us to be lenders and not borrowers. God has said too many places and too many times that He wants us to live a healthy life so that not only do we live longer, and this is the same true with the being a lender and not a borrower, not only are we able to meet our bills and obligations and we live longer and more healthily, but we are showing the blessing of God to others. God wants others to see in us something that's different, something that's not normal. And I got to tell you, because I know some of you have gone through the video series of Dave Ramsey, Financial University, and that's something we're going to bring to this church. And I'll let you know when it's coming, because it's coming. But Dave Ramsey says over and over again, I don't want to be normal. If normal is being thousands of dollars in debt because of credit card debt, and if normal is living from paycheck to paycheck, I don't want to be normal. God doesn't want us to be normal. God says, there's a better way. Okay, you're living a good life, but you can live the better life. These are the blessings that God wants to bestow upon us, and this is what the prayer of Jabez is bringing to us. And I want to challenge you over the next 4 weeks that we're going through this series to develop some new attitudes about blessings. I want you to pray for God's blessing every day. I want you to frequently thank God for His many blessings. I mean, this was modeled in every prayer that Jesus prayed. I want you to enjoy God's blessings. They are a gift. Carpe diem. Seize the day. Live today. Stop worrying about tomorrow. Stop fretting over what happened yesterday. Live this day. And I'm preaching to myself more than I'm preaching to you guys. One thing I hate about going on vacation, I know there's an end. And if I'm not in the right frame of mind, I'm so focused on the end that everything that happens kind of just blows by me. I'm like walking into my sleep almost. We got to seize the day. We've got to enjoy the moment. And that's why, boy, I'm just praising God for every day the sun is shining this fall. Because I know what's coming. I don't know when it's coming yet, but I know it's coming. And it's a mild El Nino this year, and so I'm saying thank you, God, because mild El Ninos here in Washington mean drier and warmer than normal. And I'm thinking, okay, I can make it through another winter. Yeah. And I'm grabbing every day for what it's worth. And I want you to anticipate the potential. I want you to start expecting what God has promised you, and that is a bountiful blessing. We don't expect, therefore we don't receive. You know, if my grandkids never expected that they would get from me what they were asking for, they would never ask. We got to start expecting that God has our best interest in mind, and God loves us so much that, you know, going to Dairy Queen is nothing. God wants us to live the better life, and so we got to start expecting those blessings that God wants to give us. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 to 18, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. You got to know there's a God. And you got to know that God loves you, and you got to know that God wants to pour out His blessings upon you. We can't see those things, but you got to believe it. And when you believe it, it starts becoming a reality. And then those things that we're down here chasing, those Franklins, those Jacksons, those Washingtons, we become master over them. And they don't control us. And we start figuring out that, you know what? If I have the absolute nicest house on this earth, and I don't know, maybe some of you guys get those emails that shows how some of those sheiks and oil barons from the Middle East, how they spend their money. Like the one country that built this indoor ski resort, snow ski resort in the desert. I don't know if you saw that one or not. This huge building had ski lifts in it, had artificial snow in it. Had to be cold because everybody's wearing, coats and ski bibs and all of that stuff. People skiing down this hill in the desert. Okay? I don't care what you can spend your money here on this earth. It's nothing compared to what God has for you. It's temporary. It's going to burn. Up and gone. So, next week we're going to talk about enlarging our territories. And Pastor Bob's going to bring us that message. I really want to encourage you to stay with this series. And I really want to challenge you to start praying the prayer of Jabez. And let's do it through this month of this series. And let's see what happens. And let's find out 30 days from now, from those of you who have taken this to heart and you're praying this prayer every day, let's hear from you what's happened in your life the past 30 days. I don't believe these prayers are going to go out empty. I believe God is going to start moving. I mean, we're in a position, church, that we're trying to secure some land. We're trying to move forward and start some ministries here that are going to effectively change our community. When we bring the Dave Ramsey video series here, we're not just going to invite you guys to it. We're going to go out here and invite everybody in these neighborhoods in a mile radius around us to come check out what Dave Ramsey's got. And you know what? It's okay. Because Dave Ramsey is a financial guru who's on the radio, has his own radio show, and his whole purpose is to get people out of debt. Who within a mile radius wouldn't want to tie into that? And so, I want God's blessings. I want God's blessings indeed, not only for me, but for our church family. And so I really challenge you to pray that prayer this coming month, and let's see what God does. And I challenge you to be a part of our get-together next week as we talk about enlarging our territories. Because I'll tell you what, that is a real vision of mine for this church. And as it happens individually, it will happen as a church. When my territories start expanding and I start inviting people to come and check out what we're doing here, guess what? That impacts our church. And that's what it's all about. I want to take just a moment before we close in prayer to ask a couple people to come forward. Alan and Chu. Come up here, please. Because Alan and Chu, and looks like Anita, would you ask Mr. Register to stick his head in here also? A couple guys showed up since we did this thing, but you weren't here early enough, so. But I know you went and got you. Oh, is Shane out there too? Yeah, let Shane come in too. Okay. These, you know, this is what goes on when you coach also. You have a 6 o'clock game. And at 6:03, some people show up. No. Anyway, these 4 gentlemen also represented our teams this year. Chu was on a co-ed team with Alan and Donovan, and Shane and John were on co-ed teams, but also Shane, John, and Alan were down at Brush Prairie on our men's teams, too. And so, guys, sorry you weren't here earlier today when we did this, but pastor's prerogative, dad's prerogative, neighbor's prerogative. I get to call you guys come up here whenever I want. So I just want to thank you guys for sharing your God-given abilities and representing us so well and doing it with just great attitudes. And so if you guys would affirm these 4 gentlemen as well. And, you know, Lord willing, we'll do it again next year. And Chu, I told that story some years ago, how Chu even came to be associated with us. And you know, it was kind of providential also, because we were just having practice at North Thurston High School. Chu wandered by and said, "Hey, can I play?" And the rest is history, because he's been playing with us every year since then. And so we've got great affection for Chu. He's a good guy. So thank you, guys, and we'll look for you again next year. So, this week, you are asking to be blessed. This week, if you want to boldly go before the message next week, you can start asking for your territories to be expanded. If you want to be really bold, you can start saying, "God, not only those 2 things, but I want to see your hand in everything that goes on in my life." See, you don't have to pray the exact prayer of Jabez. There's no magic in the words. But I believe the principles, those 4 principles of, "Lord, bless me. Bless me indeed. Enlarge my territories. Let me see your hand in everything that goes on in my life, and keep me from evil." Those 4 principles, bam, those are in God's will. And that's why I know God is going to answer those prayers in your life. Amen. Yep. And if you don't have the book, you know, you're certainly welcome to go out and get either the Prayer of Jabez or Beyond Jabez. I'm thinking ultimately we will start a small group maybe on Sabbath mornings that kind of gets into that whole concept too at 10 o'clock. So if you want to be a part of that, you can. But I want to have prayer to close this, and I'm also going to ask prayer for the food. You get a 2-for, see? And then when it's time to eat, we can just go through the lines, because the food's already blessed. So let's bow our heads, shall we? Father God, I do want to thank you that you've allowed us to come together. I also want to thank you that you have put in places for us to read, to see with our own eyes, examples of kinds of prayers that you want to hear from your people, that you are so anxious to do all those good things in our lives, and we're just so afraid to ask, or so busy, too busy to ask, whatever keeps us from doing it. God, I want to commit for the next 30 days that we as a people will commit to be praying that prayer of Jabez, that we're going to ask you to bless us and bless us indeed. We're going to ask you to expand and enlarge our territories. We're going to ask you that we can see your hand in all the things that happens in our lives, and that you might keep us from evil. And God, I know you're going to be faithful. I know you're going to be faithful to answer that prayer, because it is within your will. We're giving you the power and authority to decide how to bless us. We're giving you the power and authority to decide when to bless us. But you've promised that you will bless us. So to that end, I pray that you will, you know, make it real in our lives. As we go from here to the food, I pray your blessing upon the food and the hands that have prepared it. I pray upon the blessing of the time of fellowship together, that we can draw closer together and that we can just bring glory and honor your name by doing so. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys have a fantastic Sabbath and a great week. Lord willing, we'll see you back here next week.
Above all things, his love endures forever. Sing praise.